Oh, that was beautiful, wasn't it? Oh, my, thank you so much. To walk where Jesus walked. And it's a great joy and honor to be here with you at Worth Baptist. I have great love and respect for this church. And, of course, Brother Raymond and I, we go way back. In fact, I'm trying to be like him. You can see I've got a cane now. So if you'll come back next Sunday, we're going to have a race. Would you like to see that? A race, two old preachers on canes. Oh, if I could just learn now to preach like he preaches, I would really hit a home run, you know. But it was so good to hear him this morning in the Sunday school hour. I mean, I just love hearing him preach and speak. He knows God's word and memorized it. I mean, he's got it in his heart, and just a great man of God. And it's been wonderful to be his friend for so many years. Praying for your pastor. He's preaching away today, and I hope you'll hold him up before the throne of grace. I challenge God's people everywhere I go. Pray for your pastor. He's the shepherd of this flock. And if the devil wants to get somebody, he wants to get the shepherd. And so you hold him up in your prayers every day. Every day, pray for him and his family. But it's good to see Brother Earl, and thank you, Brother Corey. Great music today. Bless me. Stirred my soul. All right. I tell people this. Preachers this. Don't overpromise about a sermon. And that's what I'm going to do today. And so somebody's going to come along and say, yeah, you overpromised. You were promising this sermon would really make an impact on my life, that this would help change me, that this would really do something in my life. Well, I'm always hesitant to do that, but that's how I feel about the message this morning. I believe this is something this morning that will make a difference. It'll enrich your life. It'll enhance your walk with God. It'll encourage you in your relationship with others and improve your relationship with others. I believe this will make an impact on your life. Now, the reason I say that is a personal testimony. A year and a half ago, I went through the darkest time of grief I've ever experienced. And I know some of you here have experienced this. Some of you have lost someone near and dear to you. Judy and I had a long, wonderful marriage, great times, great memories, and I thought I could handle it, but I got in the deepest, darkest hole of grief I've ever been in my whole life. Just seemed like I couldn't take that dark cloud over me, and I know God's grace is sufficient, and I believe that. And a friend of mine called me one day, and he said, "Preacher," I'd been his pastor for years. And he said, "Preacher, can I bring you a little book and by for you to read?" I said, "Yeah, bring it by. I'm always reading stuff." He brought a little book by that said 31 Days of Praise. Just a little small book, 31 Days of Praise. And Brother Raymond and I started reading that. It began to stir something in my soul about the fact I need to get my focus on the Lord. I need to be praising him. Now, I tried every day to give thanks and praise to God, but I began to focus more on it. I began to concentrate more upon it, and God began to work in my life. And so today, that's what I want to talk to you about, is the excellence of praise. The excellence of praise. Take your Bible this morning and turn to the book of Psalms. Now, the Psalms are the Hebrews' home. It is the Hebrews' hymn book. And in the Psalms, we find much about praise. And so if you go to Psalm 92 and verse 1, here's what you read in Psalm 92 and 1. "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High." It is a good thing. It is a good thing to give praise unto God. Now when you go over to Psalm 147, go over to the end of the book of Psalms. As you know, Psalms has the longest book in the Bible. And it is in kind of in the middle of the Bible. And it was the Hebrew hymn book. It was a very important part of Scripture for any Jew. And then as Christians, it is an important part for us. Psalm 147 and verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. It's suitable, it's appropriate, it's right to give praise unto God. This is an important subject to me. And if you read the last Psalms, you find that it's important in these verses. It's pointed out again and again to give praise unto God. The excellence of praise. I'm telling you something this morning that can make an impact on your life. Why do you think David was called a man after God's own heart? There were a number of reasons, but one main reason, he knew how to praise God. He knew how to bring joy and rejoice in his God and give glory and praise unto the Lord. So let's look at some of these Psalms here for a minute toward the end of the book of Psalms. Will you go first to the Psalm 145? Psalm 145. This psalm is entitled, the superscription is, David's Psalm of Praise. Now that's the only psalm. David wrote most of the psalms. And this is the only one that says it's his psalm of praise. That's the title he gave him. Here is a psalm full of worship to God and praise unto the Lord. And so let's look at Psalm 145. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I'll bless thy name forever and ever, every day. Do you get that? Every day will I bless thee. I'll praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. You know, the psalm said, I'm going to praise God every day. Can you say that with me? Every day, I'm going to give praise unto God. Now look at Psalm 146, verses 1 and 2. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I'll sing praises unto my God while I have any being. While I live, as long as I live, as long as I've got breath in this body, as long as I have days upon this earth, I'm going to praise God. Amen. I'm going to give praise unto the Lord. That's what the psalmist said. Now, look at Psalm 148. Go over to Psalm 148. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. Let everything praise God. The heavens, the stars, the moon, let everything praise the Lord. Now look at Psalm 149. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of saints. That's why it's important for you to sing when we have congregational singing. I mean, you're singing to the Lord. You're singing to the Lord. God's people ought to sing. You say, I don't have a very good voice. Well, neither do I. In fact, when I sing, heaven's flag is flown at half mast. The angels fold their wings. I mean, I don't have a good voice to sing. But you know what? God loves to hear me sing. Did you know that? It's amazing to me. He wants us to make a joyful sound to him. He wants us to sing unto him. Again and again, he says, sing praises. Let's look at that last psalm, Psalm 150. You know, it's interesting. The book of Psalms starts with a blessing on a separated man whose mind is saturated with God's word. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So it starts with a blessing, the man that will separate himself and get into God's word and saturate his mind with God's word. There's a blessing. And then it ends, the book of Psalms ends with man blessing God. Giving praise and blessing to God. You ever bless the name of the Lord? The psalmist said, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Blessed be the name of our Lord. Now I want to tell you this morning, praise is more than an obligation. It is more than just adding something little extra to your Christian life or your prayer time. We ought to be consumed. Praise ought to be essential in my life. And so when I was walking through the darkest valley I'd known, I began to learn to praise. I began to take more time praising the Lord. And you know what I found? I found a closeness with the Lord. I found that God knows how to heal the brokenhearted. God knows how to pick us up when we're down. You begin to praise him and draw nigh to him and give him praise and glory, God begins to work. Now, it's not just saying these words. That's why the psalmist said, with my whole heart will I praise you. This needs to come from the heart. This needs to come from down deep in your soul to praise the Lord. And praise is as essential in your life as the air is for your lungs. That's how essential it is. If I'm going to be victorious, if I'm going to have blessing, if I'm going to have victory, I've got to learn to praise God. Praising the Lord is that essential in my life and in your life. I want to give you just a few reasons why we need to be praising God. Number one, very important, because God is worthy of our praises. Can you say a big amen to that? Amen. Amen. He's worthy. You get over to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. And John the Revelator says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. It's never time wasted when you get with God and you begin to praise him and give him glory and honor because he deserves it. I'm unworthy. Unworthy of the least of his mercy. Unworthy to have my name written in that Lamb's book of life. Unworthy even to speak his name, Jehovah. Unworthy to say, Abba, Father. Unworthy. But he's worthy. He's worthy. He is worthy of your praises. He is worthy for you to give him glory. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 139:14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You just take eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak and feet to walk, hands to do. God made us. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. The psalmist said, I'm going to praise you, Lord. I'm going to praise you. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, I want to tell you something. I was reared up in an old-fashioned shouting Baptist church. That's right. Believe it or not, old-time Baptists used to shout when people got saved. They used to shout when they got happy in the song service. I love some of those amen and praise the Lord's I heard this morning. That's the way it ought to be among God's people. Is God worthy of praise? Can you say praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah? It's all right to say hallelujah. That just means we're praising him. We're praising him. Not for show, not to get attention, but because he's worthy. He's worthy. If we stayed here all day today and just praised him and praised him and praised him, he's worthy of it. That's going to be a big part of heaven. If you don't like that, you're not going to like some of the things in heaven. We're going to sing praises to God. We're going to join with the angels and our loved ones, and we're going to praise him for the salvation we have, for the price he paid. Praise the name of the Lord. Just give him praise. Just give him praise. We need a church full of people like old Billy Bray. You ever hear of Billy Bray? He was an old Cornish miner of the 1700s in England. Didn't have much. He and his little wife named Josie, they lived on a little farm. But Billy Bray was really known for one that walked with God. And he was always praising God. He'd go down the street, Brother Raymond, and he'd say, "This foot says amen. This foot says hallelujah. This foot says praise the Lord. This foot says glory to God." He was just always praising God. He made some people nervous. He was just praising the Lord. They would bring him to some of the other churches because he just lighted the place up. I mean, he was a man of prayer. He walked with God, and he was always praising God. One day, his wife saw him. She looked out the window and she saw him putting the last sack of potatoes out of their barn onto a neighbor's wagon. Because Billy Bray was a giver. He just always helping people and giving. He came in and he could tell something was wrong because she was really quiet. You ever had that happen, guys? I'd say, "Judy, what's wrong?" "Nothing." You know something's wrong when they say nothing. I mean, you know something's wrong. So he said, "No." I said, "What's wrong, Josie?" She said, Billy, she said, "You know I don't mind sacrificing. I don't mind helping others, but you've given the last sack of potatoes out of the barn. You gave that last sack of potatoes to those neighbors." He said, "Well, they were in need, and I just felt God wanted me to do it." She said, "Well, what are we going to do?" She said, "You know, Josie, God had rather starve the angel Gabriel than starve Billy Bray. I'm one of God's children. He's going to take care of us." Amazingly, before that evening was over, someone else had brought things to Billy Bray and his family. Get them through the whole month. I mean, the whole month with what they needed. Billy Bray, you're just praising God all the time. We need a church full of them. We need a church full of people that just can't keep from praising God. Just praising God. One night, some mean boys hid over in the bushes, and Billy Bray was coming by. And they thought, "We're going to scare him." So they were over in these bushes, and they said, Billy Bray, well, he stopped. Said, "The devil's over in these bushes, Billy Bray. The old devil's over here in these bushes." Well, all of a sudden, Billy just started praising God. He said, "Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I didn't know the devil was that far from me. Praise the Lord. Just feel like he's always bothering me on my back. I didn't know he was way over there in those bushes. Praise God." He just praising God, whatever happened. Just praising God. I used to hear Brother Roloff say, "Praise God anyhow." I mean, no matter what's going on, praise God. God's worthy to be praised. No matter how I'm hurting, no matter what dark clouds are over me, no matter what dark valley I go through, I can praise God, for he's worthy. He's worthy of praises. We're saved to praise God. Ephesians 1:6 says, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein has made us accepted in the beloved." Did you know we're saved to praise God? We're saved to praise God. Secondly, quickly, let me hit on a couple of these other things before we close. We're not only to praise God because he's worthy, he is so worthy, but we're to praise God because praise and thanksgiving are linked together. Don't miss this point. Praise and thanksgiving are linked. They're linked together. That great psalm in Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Get that? How do we enter? How do we come before the Lord? Praise and thanksgiving. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. We come before him. Those are linked. They are linked together. And that's the way we ought to approach the Lord. Psalm 107, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. That's the way that psalm starts. Four times in that psalms he says this, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. The psalmist steps back and said, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Have you ever sat down and thanked God for his goodness? Do you ever make a list of things that you're thankful for and give God thanks and praise? Every good gift comes from the Lord. I want you to know you couldn't lift your little finger tonight today if God didn't give you the strength to do it. You couldn't work tomorrow. You couldn't handle anything without God giving you strength and help to do it. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of doubt or shadow of darkness. No shadows with the Lord. Our spiritual response to all that God does for us is thanks and praise. Thanks and praise. These are linked. In fact, did you know worship and praise and thanksgiving overlap? They overlap. You get to thanking God and you'll start praising God. You start praising God, you begin to think about thanking God. They overlap. They overlap in our worship, and it ought to be part of our lives as we worship and thank God and give him praise. Don't let Satan steal your song. Brother Barber quoted this morning. He's put a song in my heart. He's not only dug me out of the miry clay, but he's put a song in my heart. He's put a song in my heart. Now, I don't sing in church and solos. Now, I sing. I love to sing with God's people. I love to hear God's people sing. I love to hear it. And I sing in the shower. I sing sometime in the house. I wished I could sing like Brother Barber. Wished I could sing like Brother Corey. Wished I could sing like some of you dear people in this choir using your voice for the Lord. I wished I could sing. But I want to tell you, God loves to hear me sing even when I'm just trying. God wants us to sing praises. In fact, there's one verse where that is there four times, Brother Corey. In Psalms, there's one verse that says, sing praises, sing praises, sing praises, sing praises. Are you getting the message? Sing praises. Sing praises. Sing praises unto God. Next, let me say this. Not only because he's worthy, not only because thanksgiving and praise are linked, but because God inhabits where his people praise him. Look at Psalm 22:3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Now here's the question. You want to get close to God? Do you want to draw near to God? You want to be close to him? You know, James in the book of James says, draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. If you want to get close to God, you start praising him. You start praising him. You want to enhance your walk with the Lord? You want to enrich your devotion time? Start praising God. Just lift your hands and give him praise and praise. In fact, I followed this little pattern that I had. I don't do this every day, but most days when I'm in my time with the Lord, I'll just sometime, Brother Raymond, I'll just lift my hands. I sometimes lift them in church, not often, but I do sometime. But when I'm with the Lord, I just lift up my hands and I'll say, Lord, I want to praise you. I want to give you glory and praise for you're worthy. And then somewhere I'll just lift my hands and say, Lord, I surrender. That's the sign of surrender. Not only can we lift up our hands and praise the Lord, just lift up your hands and say, Lord, I surrender. I'm yours. I'm bought with a price. I'm yours. I give myself to you, Lord. I give myself to you. I surrender all. I surrender all. And then lastly, I'll just hold my hand like this and say, Lord, by faith, today I'm going to receive your forgiveness. I'm going to receive your grace. I'm going to receive your strength because God wants to give it to his children. He is a great, wonderful, gracious God. He inhabits the praises of his people. You want to praise him. You want to draw close to him. Then lastly this morning, not only because he's worthy, not only because thanksgiving and praise are linked, and not only because God dwells where his people praise him. I'm telling you, you become a praising church. You'll sense the presence of God in this place. He dwells where his people praise him. But then lastly, because victory comes through praising God. Victory. Now, I don't want you to get the idea that this is going to be some kind of magic formula. You're going to get on your knees and you're going to praise the Lord and you're going to think God's going to do anything you ask him. God wants to answer our prayers, absolutely. And God sometimes miraculously, wonderfully does. But it's not some magic formula. I ought to praise God because he commands me to do it. He wants me to do it. And it's a great and wonderful thing to do. But praise can bring great victory. Let me give you two examples in the Old Testament and the New Testament. One in the Old, the other in the New. The one in the Old Testament is in 2 Chronicles 20. Let me briefly give you the story and the setting. King Jehoshaphat was facing insurmountable odds. Great armies had come against him. He was a good king, one of the good kings of Judah. And he even said in 2 Chronicles 20, he said, we don't know what to do. I mean, this great crowd had come against him. So what did he do? Well, he called out to God and he began to praise God. Read the passage. He began to praise God. Even when they went into battle, the singers went first. Choir had to go first. You're on the front line. You got to go first. Right in the front of the battle. Right in the front of the battle, the singers, the musicians, they're in the front line praising the Lord. And you know what the Lord did? He set ambushments behind the enemy. And this great host coming against Israel, God destroyed them. And he said this, the battle is the Lord's. Don't ever forget that. The battle is the Lord's. I'm telling you, when the Lord takes up the battle, it's going to be won. It's going to be won decisively. God destroyed them. Took them 3 days to gather all the spoils together. God defeated them. How'd they do it? Praise. They were praising God. They went in that battle and God destroyed their enemies. Second one's in the New Testament. So you're very familiar with it. Paul and Silas got into trouble in Philippi because they cast out a demon out of a little girl. Do you remember that? Acts 16. And they got so mad, they beat them. They pulled them before the magistrates, and they beat them. And then they put them in the darkest, deepest hole of the prison and bound them with stocks. They chained them and bound them with stocks in this deepest part of the prison. Now, I have to admit to you, I got stuck in a deep, dark prison and chained there. I'd probably be whining and crying and moaning and groaning. Now, Brother Raymond wouldn't, but I'm telling you me, okay? But not Paul and Silas. They were singing and praising God at the midnight hour. I mean, their backs were bloody. They were chained. They were in a dark place and they're praising God. And what happened? God dwells where his people praise him. He shook that whole prison. There was an earthquake. Those doors all flew open. The jailer springs in and says, "Tell me, what must I do to be saved?" Amen. Paul led him, the Lord led his whole family to the Lord, baptized them, because you got to be baptized after you get saved. You get baptized them. I mean, and then finally the magistrates had to come and publicly let them out. You know, God dwells where his people praise him. He dwells where his people praise him. You start praising God. Charles Spurgeon wrote this: "Our griefs cannot mar the melody of our praise. They are simply the bass notes of our life song, which is, 'To God be the glory.'" That's what I learned. That's what got a hold of my heart in a dark hour. To learn to praise God. Didn't mean I didn't praise him before, but I got very much more intentional about it. I spent more time. And it began to bring healing from my broken heart. And it began to help me in life's journey. God knows how to heal our hearts. And we praise him, we draw nigh to him. And God can do something marvelous and wonderful for us. Now, folks, let me ask you something. If the Muslims can pray five times a day, why can't we praise God seven times a day? Because the psalmist says in Psalm 119, 164, he said, "Seven times a day will I praise you." Now, how can I do that? How can I intentionally praise God seven times a day? Well, let's start with when you get up in the morning, okay? When you get up in the morning, start the day praising God. Start the day praising God. I know it's made a difference in my life. Instead of starting the day in a dark place, I start the day, "Lord, you're worthy to be praised. I want to give you thanks and praise." Start the day praising God. Well, you sit down to eat breakfast. What do you do? You know, there's some Baptists that ought to choke on their food. They eat without praising and giving God thanks. They just absolutely ought to choke. I'm sorry, didn't mean to get in the flesh there. Praising God seven times a day. Seven times. I can praise him when I get up. I can praise him at the breakfast time. I can praise him at mid-morning. I can just stop long enough to give God praise. I can praise him at the noon hour. Come down to lunch again. I can praise God. In the afternoon, mid-afternoon, we think we got to have a snack or a nap. As you get older, you have to have a nap in the afternoon. I mean, what is it about this? And then I can praise him when I sit down at the supper time. And then number seven, when you start to lay your head on the pillow. My granddaddy, who was my pastor, I saved under his ministry, he called it evening prayers. Evening prayers. When you get ready to go to bed, turn that old television off and give God praise. Just give him praise. Just talk to him. Those evening prayers make it important. One more thing. Dear friend, you cannot begin to give God praise in the way he deserves until you first know him. Did you know that? You got to know him personally. You got to have a relationship with him. You got to know him. And the way to know him is to first admit you're a sinner. You've sinned against a holy God. That you need his forgiveness and salvation. And you believe that Jesus died on that old cross and rose again for you. And then you trust him with your heart. That's how to come to know him. Then you can truly give him praise. Do we know how to praise God? Can you say praise the Lord? Can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Isn't he wonderful? He is. Would you bow your heads, please? We're going to sing in just a moment. You're going to have an opportunity to make the greatest decision you can ever make in life. There are some decisions you may regret or wish you'd made differently, but not this one. That decision that's opening your heart and life to the Lord Jesus, you will never, never, never regret that decision. And you can make that today. I made it as a 7-year-old lad in a Brush Harbor meeting under my grandfather's preaching. I trusted Jesus as my Savior. I don't know what age you are. I don't know what circumstances you're in, but I know this: God loves you. He gave His only begotten Son to die for your sins, where you could have forgiveness, you could have eternal life. It's a matter of you receiving it. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. You can receive Him today. You can know for sure when you walk out of this building that the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. If I died today, I'm going to wake in heaven with the Lord. You can know that. It can be sure in your soul today. I'm going to pray here in just a moment. Before I do, is there somebody here and you'd say, "Preacher, I need to trust the Lord today. I need to be saved. I've put this off too long. I need to make this the red letter day. I need to make this the day I begin to really walk with the Lord. And today, the best I can, I'm going to call on Him in my heart and I'm going to ask Him to come in." If you are willing to do that right now, right where you're sitting, you're willing to pray a simple prayer, asking the Lord in your heart, asking Him to save you, would you just slip your hand up? "Preacher, I need to do this today. I need to ask the Lord in my heart today." Just slip your hand up where I can see it right now, anywhere. Just slip your hand up and say, "Yes." All right, thank you. Thank you. All right. Just pray a simple prayer like this. Just say, "Dear Lord, I want to be saved today. I want Jesus Christ to come into my life. Please forgive me of my sins. I'm trusting in You to be my Lord and Savior this day, and I really mean it, in Jesus' name." If you prayed that prayer, when we stand to sing, just get out of your place and come. Workers will be here to pray with you. This can be the best day of your whole life when you open your life to the Lord. Father, speak to hearts now. There may be some that need to come for church membership, others for baptism, never have followed the Lord in baptism. There may be some here that just, Lord, their spiritual life has got weak, anemic. They need to learn to draw close to You. That's where we get spiritual strength and joy and peace, and that's where things can really become good in our Christian experience. God, speak to hearts, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.